Life Audio.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
We want families to come here and gain insightful strategies that empower them to successfully teach diverse learners at home.
Hosted by founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, Peggy Ployer.
Our goal is that these powerful weekly conversations will boost your confidence to cultivate the best at-home learning environment for your student.
For more homeschool resources, go to spedhomeschool.com. You're listening to Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer. We'll start the conversation with Peggy and her guests next.
Is it hard to spark meaningful conversations with your kids? Whether you're a homeschool hero, planning activities for the next family vacation, or simply gathering around the dinner table, we've got something that can help. Introducing the Daily Family Conversation Starter by best-selling author Katie Clemens. This remarkable book offers 365 imaginative ways to connect with your children in just 5 minutes each day, with prompts like, "Who made you laugh today?" or "What would you do if you had a tail?" These simple questions open up a world of laughter, curiosity, and deeper connections. From dinner time to sleepy time, the Daily Family Conversation Starter is your key to creating memories that will last a lifetime. Don't wait to transform your family's daily routine into an adventure of discovery and fun. Grab your copy of the Daily Family Conversation Starter today, wherever books are sold.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool, a nonprofit that empowers families to home educate diverse learners. To learn more, visit spedhomeschool.com. Here's Peggy Ployer.
Today, we are going to talk about practical advice for homeschooling parents of special needs children. And my special guest today is Terry McKee. She's an author, speaker, podcaster, and blogger who also homeschools her youngest daughter. She's married to Greg, who is paralyzed, and together they have four children who all have varying special needs. She's a follower of Jesus Christ. She teaches adult Sunday school and writes books to encourage Christians in their faith journey. She encourages people in the Christian faith on her blog and podcast, nearyouraltar.com, and in homeschooling through homeschoolingonechild.com. And she's the president and founder of IHA Ministries, LLC, a Christian conference, retreat, and event planning organization that she's going to tell you a little bit more about today, because she's got something big coming up. And I'm excited to have you on the show again, Terry, to talk about some practical stuff. What? I love that.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. This is
I didn't realize my bio sounded like such a mouthful.
Yeah, that was the first time I read through it. I know you just sent it to me, and I was like, oh, this is impressive. It's okay. God gives us a lot of varying experiences, and when we try to put them all together, it doesn't seem to always make sense. But like Terry and I were talking ahead of the show about, is he brings it all together eventually. And maybe you as a parent are going, I don't know why I've been called to homeschool. I don't know what I'm doing in this. Is God even at work in this? Yes, he is. You may not see the fruit of that for a long time.
That's right.
But yes, he is at work in it. Can you share a little bit about your homeschooling background, just how that came about, and just how God has worked that out in and through your life?
Well, I was a homeschooled child, homeschooled teenager for 1 year. back in the 80s when there were no co-ops and it was slightly really illegal.
And, yes.
And it was, did not have the best experience at it because there were no one around. There were no communities around to bounce ideas off of. But I learned that year I was learning about the inner workings of the space shuttle.
Oh.
And my mom said, hey, the space shuttle is about to launch. Why don't you, as part of homeschool, come watch it on the television? And I was like, cool. And then the Challenger blew up right there. Wow. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is not how this is supposed to end. Mm. And that was my first taste of homeschooling.
Wow.
Was in the 80s. And then my oldest son, I have four children, as you were saying, the bio and all that. Sam is now 29 and has autism, bipolar disorder, a bunch of other things. And then Jacob is married and has, he's 26, I think. They're but he has severe ADHD. He's like a little rabbit on, you know, crack or something. I don't know. But, and then Ellie is my stepdaughter, but I don't claim the step thing. But she has one diabetes and ADHD. Mm. And then Laura, the one I actually homeschooled now, she has chronic migraines and dyslexia and ADHD, all the things, and anxiety. So, but I first, Sam, when he was in public school, and he went through public school his whole life, except the last semester of his senior year. And he was getting so badly bullied, Peggy, that I was just like, you know, forget this. I'm pulling you out. And I worked with his teachers to do, I think they called it a medical school at home.
Right. Situation. Yes. That is an option.
Yes. But I homeschooled him basically at home and, they were doing menu math where you have like all this stuff, like at a restaurant, it looks like a menu. And then you have to add up the stuff. And then, you know, if you give a 20, how much is your change situation? And he hated it. He had been doing menu math for years and years and years.
Oh, wow.
And he was having behavior issues in class because of this. And I just asked, you know, I asked the school, can I have a pre-algebra book? Back then, they actually had textbooks, you know?
Yeah, right.
And they fought me on it. They said, no, he needs to do this menu math. And I said, he is bored. That's why the behaviors are coming out like this. He's bored. And so I finally got a pre-algebra book and I introduced it to him. And he thought it was like a code. He thought he had been given something to decipher. And he was so intrigued by it. And his mind, he has such an engineer's mind that it wasn't being... he wasn't being challenged.
Challenged.
Right. So he thrived with that. And they were shocked. And so when our daughter, Laura, the youngest, when she was about to start kindergarten, it was right after Sam finished high school. And I said, my husband and I was talking and said, why don't we just homeschool her?
Right.
We can do so much. We can be interest led and we can teach her what we want to teach her.
Right.
We disciple as we are called to disciple our children. And so we did that all of, you know, one semester of her kindergarten year. And then my husband was shot and paralyzed in an attempted armed robbery. And we took some really bad advice from some well-meaning friends who said, you know, you can't possibly homeschool her now because you have so much on your plate. Oh. And so we said, you know, you might be right. And so I hate to say it, but we pulled her out and of homeschool and we enrolled her at the local public school. And we knew she has had trouble with reading. And then she had a diagnosis, a formal diagnosis of dyslexia. And so she, by the time second grade, at the end of second grade rolled around, she was still in public school. And we had decided, because I'm going all over the place, like one of those rabid squirrels.
Well, that's okay. I mean, that's kind of how our life works, though.
Yes.
It doesn't have this perfect little step-by-step plan. And I think that's a good thing to point out, too, because I think as we're moving forward in this conversation, we want a step-by-step plan on how to make it work.
Yes.
But that's not how it works.
We can't. No.
Yeah. No.
It's a lot of give and take and trying something and see if it works. And if it doesn't, fall back, pull something else out. Mm-hmm. And but with Laura, we just decided that when we got her reading testing done at the end of second grade, and it showed that she was reading on a kindergarten level.
Wow.
And what we learned that the teacher, her second grade teacher, was bullying her about reading. Mm. And I remember being at the last IEP meeting, and we had already made the decision. We're pulling her out at the end of second grade. We're going to homeschool her third grade on. Hmm. And I remember being at the IEP meeting and they said, well, we need an IEP for next year. And I said, you know, you're right, but I'm going to have the ultimate IEP. And they were like, that sounds great. What, you know, what are your ideas? And I said, I'm homeschooling her.
Right.
And they're like, oh, no, you can't. You're not qualified. And I said, I'm her mother.
Right.
I am very qualified. And
amen. Yes.
So we pulled her out at the end of the school year. You know, we let her finish second grade. I mean, we weren't going to pull her out with a week to go.
Yeah.
And then we started August 1st. Gave her a little summer break, and we started August 1st and with like intensive reading, and I would read to her and show and, you know, trace the words with my finger as I read to her. And by December, Peggy, by Christmas, she was reading on grade level.
Wow.
But it took intensive reading, and there wasn't a real curriculum I followed. You know, people want this magic curriculum box, right?
Yes.
My kid is this, or my kid has this. What's a curriculum that will fix it? And
I'm
here to say there are no curriculums out there that are magic that will fix the dyslexia in your child or that will fix the autism. It's just not. They don't exist. But with Laura, it just took intensive one-on-one reading to her and getting her to read back to us. And, you know, introducing sight words and just really working with her. I did not just put her in front of a book and say, there you go. Do that. You know,
And it's very labor intensive.
It is. Mm-hmm. I used every trick of the trade. Okay. I mean, I put grits. I'm from the South. We eat grits.
Okay.
So I poured grits into a cookie baking sheet. Okay. Mm-hmm. With like a little lip on the edge. So that all the grits wouldn't fall off onto the floor.
Right.
And I would get her to, you know, write out her spelling words with her finger in the grits.
Okay,
so she could see, you know, like cat.
Yeah.
And then she would wiggle the tray and erase it uh-huh. and then write another word. And it was kinesthetic learning.
Yes.
And it was just really intensive, but it was fun for her. You know, mm-hmm. she thought it was a blast shaking it, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And getting it to go away and then rewriting it. Mm-hmm. And we had a chalkboard in the dining room wall. Our dining room was the homeschool room, you know. And we did not have, we live in a tiny little house. And so at the time, the dining room functioned as both the dining room and the homeschool room and the catch-all room and everything else.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You know,
and, but we made it work. And mm-hmm. we used the game Scrabble with the tiles. We just used the tiles.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep. And she could write, you know, spell out words mm-hmm. with Scrabble tiles.
Right.
And then eventually we moved to pencil and paper.
Hmm.
And
that's a really good point.
Words three times each, but it was just really working with her and playing mm-hmm. games with her. There are lots of great games out there that reinforce reading, and you don't necessarily have to use them like the board game suggests, you know.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Scrabble tiles. But as far as like curriculum, I'm ashamed to say this because I'm a homeschool blogger, you know, and I have all these people sponsoring my events and all this stuff, and I love them dearly. Mm-hmm. But when you don't have a whole lot of money to spend on curriculum, go to eBay.
Oh,
that's what I do a lot of times when I don't have the money for curriculum. I go in there and I search for, like, for example, fifth grade math book. And I have bought her math books and science books off of eBay for like $5 a book. And it's an actual textbook. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are many things you can do without spending $300 and $400 on a box curriculum.
Right. Well, and on top of that, I mean, and we had a viewer ahead of time submit a question about recommended homeschool curriculum. And so this is, you know, one of those topics that we definitely know that our viewers want us to talk about today. But you're going to supplement anyways, you know.
Absolutely.
And a lot of even those more pricey curriculums don't have all the supplements you need.
After a word from our sponsor, we'll dive back into this conversation.
Is it hard to spark meaningful conversations with your kids? Whether you're a homeschool hero, planning activities for the next family vacation, or simply gathering around the dinner table, we've got something that can help. Introducing the Daily Family Conversation Starter by best-selling author Katie Clemens. This remarkable book offers 365 imaginative ways to connect with your children in just 5 minutes each day, with prompts like, "Who made you laugh today?" or "What would you do if you had a tail?" These simple questions open up a world of laughter, curiosity, and deeper connections. From dinner time to sleepy time, the Daily Family Conversation Starter is your key to creating memories that will last a lifetime. Don't wait to transform your family's daily routine into an adventure of discovery and fun. Grab your copy of the Daily Family Conversation Starter today, wherever books are sold.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool. Go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home.
So right. Where did you go to find additional things to do to reinforce what those books that you found were and your student were learning? I think that is probably the bigger thing that parents need to know practically.
Right. I made Laura when she was learning about fractions. Okay. Mm-hmm. We had pizza one night for dinner, you know, your Friday night pizza dinner.
Yeah.
And it came from, like, you know, Papa John's or wherever. They're not sponsoring mm-hmm. this thing, but whatever. Yeah. And it came, but they made a mistake in the making of that pizza that was revolutionary for our homeschool. And that, I had ordered the pizza to be full. They didn't actually make a mistake, but I forgot that I had ordered it like this, that I had ordered the pizza to be covered in pepperoni, but only have half with mushrooms and green peppers. Cause I like that. I like the mushrooms and green peppers. No one else in my family does. And when I opened up the box and I saw that half of the pizza was pepperoni and or green pepper and mushroom, I was like, oh my gosh, pizza fractions. The next day, or the next Monday, I had Laura draw a giant circle on a giant piece of paper. And I gave her a little drawing of a pepperoni and a drawing of a mushroom and a drawing of, you know, green pepper or whatever, you know, toppings she wanted on her pizza. And I said, we're going to divide the pizza into eighths. So let's put, you know, half pepperoni on half the pizza and then 2/8 or 1/4 of the pizza, it's green pepper, and et cetera, et cetera. And she learned fractions by doing that. By making it, it was fun. It was visual. And she understands, even today, she understands fractions because of the pizza fraction game. And it was,
and it, what, it took you one day.
it took one day to figure out all the missing, all the moving parts of it. But it was inspired by ordering pizza.
That's interesting because I think we forget that every day around us are the greatest teaching opportunities. And we look past them looking for this magic bullet, like you said, curriculum. We think it's going to solve everything. And yet what's around us, like your grits in the tray and other things, are just accessible and near us, and they aren't going to cost us anything.
You know, you're measuring cups in your cabinet. You know, it has 1 cup, 1/2 cup, 1/4 cup, 1/3 cup. That teaches fractions right there. And so, you know, it's great to have curriculum. We, you know, we need curriculum to a certain degree, but to supplement, you know, kids want it fun. That's how they learn. Fun, hands-on. And, but yeah, I just want to reiterate that there's no magic curriculum out there to be the end all be all. You know, I read it all the time. What's the best curriculum for a kid who's autistic? Or what's the best curriculum for XYZ? And, you know, it depends so much on your on the individual child.
It does.
You know, if a child learns best on a screen, you know, we're on a screen right now, then the best curriculum for that particular child would be, you know, online or not so much online, but like computer based. If a child is, if a child is, can't deal with the temptation of being online, you know what I'm saying? Then maybe being online is not a good thing to be on. If a child learns best by spiral bound curriculum, you know, there's a slew of things out there for that particular child. It's funny, Laura is now in the 8th grade. God help me. And but she just kind of protested the Algebra 1 book. Just it was just so dull. And it was so many problems that she just could not, with her little ADHD mind, she just could not focus. So she took it upon herself to find an app on her phone for Algebra 1.
And
she, it's kind of like a game, and she has to do so many problems to get to the next level. right? And if she gets one wrong, she does not advance to the next level. So that's how she does math, is on her phone, and she is learning. So as far as curriculum, there are so many different options. And
there are,
you know, and I would suggest if someone can afford it, and if one is nearby you, to go to a homeschool convention, because you can actually touch the curriculum and look at it and flip through it and think, this curriculum would work for my kid.
Right.
This curriculum would not.
Or you, even as a parent teaching it, I found myself going, there's no way I'm going to use this.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, if it is hard and does not inspire the parent to teach it,
right,
then it's not going to help or inspire the child to learn it.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's so very true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those hands-on experiences are good, or just, you know, somebody that, you know, showing you their curriculum. But, absolutely. But a lot of times too, somebody has a great experience with it and it's just, it's not for you. So I think we go off a lot of things, especially in our day and age. It seems like when lots of people recommend it, you know, it gets lots of stars and reviews, then we're like, that must be the best product. Not always.
No. It totally is child dependent, and your child might love it, or your child might hate it.
Right.
You know, one of Laura's friends right now is doing a curriculum that she did last year, and Laura hated it. And Rebecca loves it.
Wow.
So, and is doing well at it. And I'm like, we're not going to do that for algebra. And we can stick with the app because that's working. You know, if a curriculum is working, don't rock the boat.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know,
on the other side, if the curriculum is not working, no matter how much you spent on it,
right,
it's not working, jump ship and figure something else out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that you got buy-in too from your daughter, especially as our kids get older. That is so important, because you have this like struggle of wills when your kids get older, and they want to be an adult, and we want to start giving them that ability to make more decisions. And so why not in this arena too, teach them how they learn and how to continue learning? She'll continue to probably find apps for other things as she gets older, because that seems to be a driver for her.
Yeah. Yes. And every year I ask her, you know, what would you like to study next year?
Right.
For history and science. Those are the two big ones. And when she was little, admittedly, she was like, dinosaurs.
Yes.
And so we studied a whole year of dinosaurs. And I learned so much more than I ever thought I'd know about dinosaurs. But this year it's been a struggle. She said American history. But it's been a struggle, admittedly. And so she was like, you know, can I just learn about pirates right now? I'm really into a pirate phase. Can I learn about pirates? And so we went to the library and she checked out some books on pirates, and she's reading that. Yeah. And, you know, it's very much interest-based. Because if a child is interested, they will learn about it.
They will. Yes. You create more like mental energy to focus. And I know we've had many shows about that. And that's really important, because if you're bored, I mean, it's just not going to go anywhere. So, great advice. So other than curriculum, what are some other practical things that you have to share? Let's just move on to the next thing that you want to talk about, that probably is weighing heavy on a lot of, you know, parents' hearts as they either consider homeschooling or they're in the thick of it.
Well, especially with special needs kids. One thing that really weighs on parents' minds is transitioning to the next phase of life, especially if you're, you know, like junior, senior year, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? when Tommy graduates high school or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And we had a question from one of our viewers, actually. Cynthia M. had said, how can we help students on the spectrum to get past their fears of leaving the nest or start considering secondary transition choices? So, yes, absolutely. That's a big one.
Well, as a parent of a child who I went through that with him, I have tons of advice on this. So before the child, like a month before the child turns 18, it is very, very important that you follow your state laws, because I know this goes out to everybody. Find out what your state laws are, maybe a few months before the 18th birthday, and find out what you need to get legal guardianship of your child if you feel like your child just cannot make those financial medical decisions on his or her own self.
Right. And you have to do that before 18, right?
Before 18. Yes. Mm-hmm. And like you go on, it has to be like when Sam was about to turn 18, I gathered up all the paperwork like a month before. I gathered up evaluations, IEP stuff, like school evaluations, et cetera.
Right. So one of the things my parents did too. I have 10 adopted siblings, and they've have guardianship for quite a few of them. Is they were told like long ago, way before the processes started, for those that had more abilities. I mean, I had some siblings that were wheelchair bound, pretty evident these.
Right.
But then they said they were told by social workers, document everything, even though it's totally ridiculous. Document it, because it shows their inability to make good decisions. And that is helpful in the long run. You hate documenting stuff like that.
Yes.
But for that type of transition and to get that type of custody, you need that evidence there.
Right. And if a child has like a cognitive delay where, like for autism, you know, there are multiple different levels on the spectrum. Right. And because that's why it's called a spectrum.
Yeah.
But for your more severe cases where there's cognitive delay to the point that the child has a problem with making medical and financial decisions.
Right.
Then you're going to want to be the legal guardian. Mm-hmm. And this does a couple of things. This protects the child from harm. Financial and medical harm, and gives you access to that child's records, both financial and medical, et cetera. Otherwise, you can't even go and see the doctor or make an appointment on that child's behalf.
Yes.
Yeah. You can't. You can't make financial choices for that child, because legally, that child's an adult at 18.
Yeah.
So you want to go and like on the 18th birthday, actually file for guardianship.
Hmm.
But again, that depends on the state.
Yes.
Part of that process that was really hurtful to me personally as the mom was that we had to have Sam declared incompetent.
Hmm.
And while that stung greatly, like, you know, we've spent 18 years trying to help this child be competent.
Right.
And now we're going to declare him incompetent. But this is one of those times a label is hurtfully necessary in order to have a common good.
Yeah.
So don't let it hurt too much, you know? Because with the courts, you have to do that.
Yes.
We kept that word on the down low with our son, who would ask, you know, what does incompetent mean?
Mm.
And I was like, okay. it means that I'm going to help you make certain decisions on your own or with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that you're not smart. It just means for the court, you need more help to make certain decisions.
Right.
That's what it means.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
And, but then after that, when you have that legal guardianship, you can, and when the child turns 18, you can file for things like SSI.
Right.
And it really depends on the state. I mean,
yeah.
And with Medicaid and all this, when you get SSI in a lot of states, you automatically get Medicaid. And that is good for, you know, that's your insurance. That's the insurance for the child.
Right.
It has doesn't really have a bearing on income at that point after 18, because then the child's an adult. They have no income.
Yes.
And they're getting Medicaid because of the disability that they have.
Right.
And as far as transitioning, you know, you have some decisions to make whether or not the child is going to live with you at home.
Right.
Or get an apartment or housing elsewhere or a group home. That's another option or supported living.
Yeah.
And it depends on one, the child's needs and what you want to do as a parent and what the availability of those options in your state and in your area.
Right. Yeah.
And when Sam, I can't remember how old he was because I'm getting old myself and things like that. But in 2015, it was not working having Sam live with us for many different reasons. And he wanted to have his own place and whatnot. And we decided to go the group home route. And we put him, we found a group home that had an opening, which should have been our first clue. And he was there for exactly 1 year. It for us and him, it was not a good fit. That particular group home. Now I'm not saying that all group homes are bad.
Right.
There are some that are wonderful, and if there's a need there and your child is thriving,
right,
by all means, that is a possibility. But there, what I'm saying is there are many different possibilities.
Yeah.
And you have to find the one that fits him. Now, in 2000, in the height of the pandemic of all things, you know, we decided he was still living with us after the group home incident, and he wanted his own place, focus on his own place.
Right.
And so we found this apartment complex that caters to the elderly and disabled.
Oh.
And he got his own apartment, own one bedroom apartment, and it was sliding scale, income based, facilitated by HUD. And every year we have to, you know, he has to get recertified and all this, but he is at the point of that he is capable of maintaining that apartment himself.
Oh, that's awesome.
Him and his cat.
Yeah.
And, which it's good that he has an animal, a cat, because it gives him a purpose to get up in the morning and to take care of her.
Yeah.
And it's good for her, for him. And she could honestly be a service cat if cats could lower themselves enough to be a service cat, you know, but, it's become a very good thing, but when we found out he was, when he told us, I want to move out, help me find a place. And we started, you know, looking for a suitable housing complex.
Yeah.
It was at that moment that I beefed up getting my words all convoluted. I increased the life skills training with him.
Oh, yes.
So when you have a child that you are even thinking about transitioning into the out of your home mm-hmm. and like on their own in whatever capacity,
right,
you're going to want to really beef up life skills. And
absolutely,
that's not just, you know, for special needs kids. Okay.
No, it's for every child.
For every child.
They all need to know how to clean their bathrooms, do their laundry, cook for themselves, you know, all those, yes. those things. Yes.
I mean, yep. homeschool is, the word home is in that for a reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're not teaching the kids, no matter if they're typically developing or special or whatever, have special needs. We want them to learn how to be competitive. That's not the right word. sometimes it is. Yeah. But we want them to be competent adults
yeah.
in society. And mm-hmm. and that means they need to learn how to clean a toilet, you right. know? And mm-hmm. and that means that they need to know how to cook properly.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have Sam in the kitchen with me, just like I have Laura in the kitchen with me,
right.
learning how to cook eggs, learning how to make this, make that.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam is, he's not a bad cook. He's not a great cook, but you know, he eats and he's well fed,
yeah.
But he's in charge of that.
Right.
And
yes.
so,
yeah. And I think that answers, you know, Cynthia's question too. She was talking about her student having fears. And I think when you do yes. plan and you teach to what they need, those fears tend to dissipate because they realize they have the skills to then go to the grocery store. I remember, you know, taking my kids and, you know, being their first time, you know, being in charge of that, or their mm-hmm. first time in, you know, planning a meal, and, you know, some of those bigger things, and realizing they can do it, then the fears disappear because all of a sudden you've got over that hurdle. And there's so many yes. hurdles that have to be gotten over in that time period.
Right.
And so really, yeah, coming alongside and doing those things with them is so important.
Yes. The more you talk about it and walk, you know, talk about each step that's
right.
happening mm-hmm. and train your child, then that knowledge will alleviate those fears.
Right. And it really does. Mm-hmm. And then they always know that they have you as a fallback too. You know,
absolutely.
That's so important. And that homeschooling, again, it helps tighten that relationship. And mm-hmm. And your kids know, hey, if I have a question, I can always text mom.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Sam is not afraid to call me and say, hey, I need to do this. I need to go grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do that. This. Hey, I have this issue medically,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he knows who to call
right.
and who can help him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so important.
With also lastly on this question, you know, there might be services within your state that are helpful.
Exactly.
Yep. Such as like one-on-one community support, supported living supports.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what you don't know until you ask.
Yeah.
So just the best thing to do really is Google your area and like special needs supports.
Yeah.
For adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And see what's out there.
Right. Yeah. There's like disability services, but then there are private organizations. There's Christian organizations. Yes. There's, you know, groups. There's a variety of different things out there. But like you said, where you like move from one community to another, you move from the homeschool community into this disability community. And,
yes.
And it takes a little while because you, right. you have to learn the ropes of what is available and how you can get busing. And,
yes.
you know, like you said, the supported living and, all those different things and what works. And
absolutely.
Sometimes it's trial and error. So,
and just
yeah.
like curriculum, you know, if one thing doesn't work, don't be afraid to stop it and do something else.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah. So I would like to approach to the practical for the parent.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we think so much about our kids, but practically we got to survive this yes. as well. And homeschooling is hard. It is just a hard thing when you've got a child that struggles. You probably, mm-hmm. most of us have multiple children that struggle, not just yes. one. That just comes with the territory often. And absolutely. So how, what advice do you have for parents who find themselves in that spot?
Do not count showering as self-care.
It is not. No, exactly.
It is not.
That's a necessity.
Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Shower, but don't count it as your self-care.
Right.
But you need to really find someone who knows your child, who's comfortable around your child, to step in and help take care of that child, whether it's your spouse. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the mom is the brunt of the caregiving.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. But make sure that your husband knows that if this happens, this medication has to be administered. If this happens, then this. You're a team, your partners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But make sure that you both know those things. Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to ask and say, you know what? I could really use a night by myself in a hotel room just by myself, me and the clicker and the TV remote and a hot bath and a massage and whatnot, mm-hmm. and do it. You know, if I keep going back to that oxygen mask mm-hmm. adage that we've all heard, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The first thing you fly on an airplane, the first thing the flight attendant says is you put the oxygen mask on yourself and then on your child. Mm-hmm. Because if you put your child first, that child cannot put your oxygen mask on you.
Right.
So it's important to take care of you. Whether mm-hmm. that's like, I like to get up earlier than my daughter. I help get my husband off to work and I go feed my chickens and I my cats. And then I settle in and I have my time with my coffee and my Bible and my little word game on my phone. And that's my time to mm-hmm. ease into the day.
Yeah.
And if I did not have that, if I just have got up and immediately started doing all the things,
oh, yeah. You cannot do that.
I can't.
Your day just, it starts out bad right from yes. the start. Yeah.
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. if you're not a morning person, if you want to stay up late, wait till everybody goes to bed.
Right.
And
then at least you're thinking on those things, the good stuff as you go to sleep, too.
Yes.
You've got the scripture in your head. You've got, yes, all of that.
Yes. And, just as much as we want to make our, kids be the end all be all of our lives, mm-hmm. it's putting them on that's making idols of them.
Yeah. That's okay. Very good.
We really cannot is. Do that. Mm-hmm. We have to put Jesus first.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. then our husbands and then our children.
Yes.
Because if mm-hmm. If we're married, and if we don't have that top two spot reserved mm-hmm. for our husband and we mm-hmm. put our children there,
yeah,
that marriage will not last or it will not be strong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you have to have a united front. And I'm speaking, my two boys, they're from my first marriage. And, I put them first because my husband at the time was like a child himself.
Hmm.
And he was not a father figure at all. He was abusive. But my husband now, I'd say now, like I'm going to have another one, but no. My husband now. He and I are tight. He and I are like God, then each other, and then our children. And it's, we need that partnership.
Yes. Yep. And you're living out an example that you want them to follow. Absolutely. Oftentimes we find ourselves living out an example that we don't want our kids to follow. We don't even think about it because we're in survival mode. And instead of being proactive about how we want to live in front of them and in front of God as well. And we got to step back and we have to think about that. Right. How am I living? Am I living a way that I would be happy to see my child living in the future? Because guess what? They're going to follow what you do more so than what you say.
You know, you said the key words is survival mode. Yeah. And so many times, especially as parents, we are living in survival mode. We are living from one chaotic moment to another. And we can't catch our breath because there's another thing to happen.
But we're letting that chaos lead us too, which it doesn't have to. That is a choice.
Right. That's a choice. And a lot of times we don't have systems in place in our homes.
Yes.
To deal with those things. Like, for example, Sam, when he was younger, he would often wet the bed, like even as a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just
I know
part and parcel of it, right? And he continued to wet the bed when I was the one stripping the bed. And I was the one dealing with the laundry and all this. And then one day I had enough. It was one of those mom god psycho moments, you know? And I said, you strip the bed. You put it in the washing machine. You deal with this.
Right.
And he did it. And suddenly he didn't pee that night. Uh-huh. And when I said, I'm not doing this anymore, I have reached a wall. I give up. Because it was like every single night for months.
And a lot of times it is a choice. And for, I know a lot of our kids on the spectrum, it's what's comfortable. Well, not getting up in the middle of the night is comfortable. And especially since I don't have to pay the price in the morning either. But yes, you pass the pain along. And that always was a quote of mine. I'm passing along the pain.
And I ask him, you know, what can you do to not pee in the bed? And he would say, well, not drink something at 9 o'clock at night. I was like,
there we go.
But I would get him to think about these things and think about his actions.
Right.
But it stopped a lot. I mean, and I know there are some kids out there that, medically speaking, things happen. You know, and medically speaking, I know that there are some kids who just physically cannot do that.
Right.
I get that. But as a mom and or dad, we need to make systems in our homes to deal with that so the chaos doesn't reign supreme in our homes.
Yes.
And if that means like in the morning, getting dinner going in the crock pot in the slow cooker.
Yeah.
You know, that's a system.
Right. Because then you don't have to think about it. You don't have all that extra time, the chaos. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know about you, but when I had littles in the house, it was like between 5 and 7 o'clock at night, they went crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we used to call it the witching hour, but it was 2 hours of just, they were hungry, they were tired, they were frustrated and all this. And it got to the point where I just had to give up. But in that giving up and giving that to the Lord and him saying, put systems in place. You know, when he created the earth and everything in it, it was very methodical.
Yes.
And he would make, he made the sun and the moon before he made, you know, the plants that would need the sun to grow. Right.
Exactly.
And so it was very methodical, very system oriented, that every day of creation supported the next day's events.
Yes. And, so, and it goes back to scripture, you know, that we have to deal with what's today. We spend so much time with the fear and building up in that. Do what you can today. put the system in place that you can today, and then tomorrow deal with what's tomorrow, and it'll all work out. Yes.
Absolutely.
So Terry, you have shared some amazing practical advice, and I'm sure we could talk for hours, but you have an event coming up that's going to share 2 days of practical advice for parents who are homeschooling special needs kids. And I want you to talk about that before we break off our conversation.
Absolutely, Peggy. I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
I have a heart, as you could tell, for parents and families and kids who have special needs. As a special needs mom, special needs wife, et cetera. And the Lord has really led me to create the Homeschooling Special Needs Expo.
Yeah.
And it's going to be held June 28th and 29th of this year, 2024.
Yeah.
It's in Shelby, North Carolina, which is outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And it's 2 days worth of deep diving into special needs, everything.
Yeah.
We have over 50 sessions from over 30 speakers, over 25 special needs specific exhibitors, which I'm so excited about. Mm. We're going to have a sensory room if kids come and they just need a sensory break, they can go in there and take some moments. Mm-hmm. But that sensory room also gives parents the opportunity to check out sensory products and and to learn, you know, oftentimes we hear about sensory items and sensory products.
Right. And we don't know if it's going to work or not.
We don't know if it's going to work.
Yeah.
We don't know what it's about. Mm-hmm. But this gives you hands-on, a way to hands-on look at them, touch them, talk with the people that are coming. Fun and Function is sponsoring that. And they will be there on site to talk about sensory rooms. Mm-hmm. We also have a church track, which I'm so excited about.
Yeah.
Peggy, oftentimes going to church as a special needs family is almost impossible.
It's so
difficult. Mm-hmm. But this church track will teach churches how to minister to special needs families.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited about that part too. I'm excited about all this, but the big name that I'm very excited about bringing here to the expo is Dr. Temple Grandin herself will be in person at the event, delivering the capstone keynote on Saturday night. And then afterwards we'll have a VIP Temple Grandin experience where people can, it's a ticketed event. It's an extra paid event, but people actually get to meet her, shake her hand, get books autographed from her and meet her. And we're limiting the number of those tickets so as to not overwhelm Dr. Grandin or the parents. But it's going to be an amazing event, and it's just $79 for both days. And you will not find more special needs in any other homeschool conference.
Right. And if you got our e-blast yesterday announcing this show, you actually got a code for a major discount off of that too.
Yes.
So if you're not on our email list, you might want to be, because I think we'll probably send out another one at some point. So be watching for that. But that'll be coming up soon because I think what is it? May or April 1st is the early bird cuts off, right?
That's right.
And so then the price is going to go up. So if you want tickets, you're going to want them sooner instead of later.
Absolutely. And it's, I think it's going to sell out pretty quickly. So, you know, the quicker you get on board and get your ticket, one, it'll be cheaper. And two, you actually get a ticket.
Right. And if you want to meet in person, a lot of people who have been guests on my show.
Yes. And
quite a few. Yeah. So the big ones that everybody loves. So just know that too. Yeah.
And it's sponsored by so many different people. Sped Homeschool is the platinum sponsor, which I'm so happy about. And, you know, Johnny and Friends is sponsoring, which is huge. And Apologia, and I'm not going to forget somebody, but IEW, and just a bunch of different ones. Amy Bodkin Consulting is another gold sponsor. And just people that have been on this program, and like you were saying, and who have given, you know, poured their life's work into helping families who have special needs, they will be in person speaking, and a lot of them will be exhibiting. So you can actually go and talk to them, and pick their brains. So it's going to be a fantastic event.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to head to North Carolina and join you for that event. And I'm looking forward to seeing lots of people there that in person. It's been a while. So, well, thank you for putting that together. And so they can go to IAJministries.org. Is that correct?
Yes. That's right. And just go to events, the events tab, and just scroll down and you can see that. And if you, there are multiple different tabs under the events, but if you, you know, you could look at the schedule, you can look at all the sessions, all the speakers, the sponsors, et cetera. And I'm constantly updating that website. But it's going to, it has some great information on it. I'm actually working on the program now, which the program alone will have information in it about special needs. It's not just going to be a map and speakers and all this stuff. It's going to be, it's going to have some meat to it.
Oh, so, awesome. That's great.
You can only get that if you go to the conference.
Oh, wonderful. And so IAJministries.org is your main website. And then you have two other websites. And those can be found on that one. You've got the Homeschooling One Child. And if you're listening on the podcast, it's homeschoolingthenumberonechild.com. And what can people find there?
There I focus on homeschooling singletons, because that's what I do, and also homeschooling kids with special needs, because children learn differently, whether it's one child or multiple. And so we all, if we have one child or 15 children, they all learn individually. And so we still homeschool one child.
And we do, one at a time.
That's my hope. And so you can find a lot of information there on a multiple different of resources. I have resources there. I have all my books on that, on my store there. I've written a book on being overwhelmed as a homeschool mom, homeschool parent. So you might want to check that out. And I'm currently, Peggy, writing a book about my son's journey. And that is called My Son Sam, Valleys and Victories in Autism.
Can't wait.
I'm currently writing that book for the conference.
Oh, cool. Very neat. So that's exciting. And then you got another website called nearyouraltar.com, and that's where your podcast is?
No, my Homeschooling One Child, it has my podcast.
Oh, okay. All right.
I've toyed with the idea of having a podcast for Near Your Altar, but I need to focus on some other things first.
But, you're a busy lady. But
Near Your Altar is my Christian encouragement website and blog. And that's, if you're a Christian and you just need encouragement on how to live a more godly life and where you're near God's altar in your life, that's the place for you.
Awesome. Well, lots of great resources. I'm going to put those all in the show notes, along with the direct link information for the event, so that you can get all that information looking in the show notes, whether it's on YouTube or on the podcast. And then you don't have to try to type in that URL. You can just click it. We'll get you there. So, well, thank you, Terry, so much for this conversation. Practical advice is so important. And just knowing, how do I survive today? And you've added a lot of wisdom to that. So thank you so much for this conversation. It has been very good. And I look forward to seeing you in person in June. Yes, exactly. So Terry and I met years ago at another conference, and we actually ended up being partnered up, which was we had no idea where God was going to take our futures at that point. But so glad that our paths continue to cross. So, so that's exciting. But thank you again for being on the show though, and for sharing.
Thank you, Peggy, for having me.
Absolutely. Well, next week, we are going to talk about the intimate connection between mental health and learning disabilities. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to want to be back for that conversation. And we'll be here at the same time, same place. And so thank you for those of you that popped on with us live or downloaded the podcast, watched on YouTube. I know we were in a lot of different places all the time. So because we know that you have crazy lives, and we want to make sure you get the information that you need, however that's easily digestible for you. So so thanks for joining us, and Terry, I'm super excited about your event. Can't wait to see what God does with that. Can't wait for all of you to join us there. So bye everybody, and we'll see you again next week, and God bless.
I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
This has been Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer.
A powerful prayer life does not require hiking a mountain to be able to hear from God. God can meet us right in the middle of our busy lives to help, guide, and speak to us through prayer. I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical teaching and encouragement on how you can make prayer a natural and consistent part of your everyday life. I promise it won't require hiking a mountain, but you just might develop the faith to move one. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.